Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you, right after a brief monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. We'd love to hear your dialogue and discussion on the issue, as we do each and every day. We're asking the question today, is the Holy Spirit always present? Is the Holy Spirit always present? Is there ever a time that the Holy Spirit is not present? I've heard some people pray and say, oh, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and be with us today. Is that needed and necessary? Or is the Holy Spirit ever present? Is it possible that there's an occasion when we are by ourselves and because there's not others in the room with us, the Holy Spirit's not present? There's some that misinterpret a very important text that's found in the Word of God. We're going to talk about that today, and I pray that you'll join in the discussion, and perhaps if you've got questions in relationship to how to interpret the Scripture, what ought to be done, and how we need to study the Word, we'd love to hear from you today. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I like to call it the Truth Book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made this statement: if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. May I just pause for a moment and do a little parenthetical Youngblood footnote on that? Let me just, without doing a disservice to the Scripture, Jesus says, if you continue, constantly stay in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. You are truly a disciple. And as a true disciple, you shall know the truth. How is the disciple affirmed? By staying in the Word, continuing in the Word. So if you continue the Word, it's an evidence that you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by staying in the Word, you know the truth. And as knowing the truth, it shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. Thy word is truth. It doesn't contain truth. It is truth. Thy word is truth. There's no ifs, ands, and buts. There are no errors. There are no contradictions. There are no place in the Scripture where the Scripture ought to be deleted or left out. There are a lot of people today, even in some liberal, woke, progressive Christians, quote, churches, where there's a mindset that we need to remodel the Bible. We need to rewrite the Bible. We need to take a penknife and cut out some verses out of the Scripture. We need to somehow, some way, delete some of the verses or apply them a little different fashion. Scripture is very clear. There's not but one interpretation of the Scripture. There are multitudes of applications, but just one interpretation. So let me remind you, as we face the issues each and every day, let's do so through the prism of the Word of God. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We are in that era. We're in that day and time where there's a mindset that I don't have to believe truth. I can modify it, modulate it, and most people look at truth as being like a diamond with multiple facets. So you look at one facet, see part of the truth. You look at another facet, see another part of the truth. A half-truth is a whole lie. We can't modulate, modify, change, or in some way rearrange what is truth. However, the problem that we are faced with in the American culture is that so many of our millennials today, and it's older also, But there's been a study recently that said most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's no such thing as absolute truth, we're in trouble. And the Bible is the source book for all of us. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns that the America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, Jim DeMint made this statement. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a fact that I believe we need to embrace today. I go to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge, and I believe that is the responsibility of every Christian today. Listen to the truth, learn it, love it, seek it, live it, defend it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the flag Old Glory 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with us today Dr. Neil Phelps and Dr. Glenn Davis. I'm looking across the console here with them, and we're going to be talking about this issue today. Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, take just a few moments to say a word to our listeners about the reason we're here, what we want to accomplish, without getting into the essence of the text and what we're saying today. But just a welcome to our listeners today by way of radio. And ladies and gentlemen, as you listen to us in this roundtable discussion about this text today, I pray that you'll join in the question and answer. Pray that you'd ask your questions. Perhaps you've never heard what we're going to say. Perhaps you've never heard it before. Perhaps you say, well, that's new, that's fresh. Perhaps it is an encouragement to you. We'd love to hear from you how these Bible study efforts impact your life. Dr. Phelps, speak first, if you would, please.
I'm so thankful today that we have the Word of God, God's truth, to guide us in all of the affairs of the church today. The Bible is our guide in life, and God has promised to guide us and help us and show us the way that we should walk. And that's one of the reasons we have a Bible. The Bible tells us how to live and walk and how to carry out the work of the Lord, God's work in the New Testament church today. I'm so thankful for the passage that we're going to look at today that talks about the occasion when a brother shall trespass maybe against you personally or against someone else in the church. There are always these problems, as I might call them, mm-hmm. today in churches, because we're human and because we're not perfect. And I've never found a perfect church yet. If I find one, I'm probably going to go and join it, but that would be a problem for them. Because I'm
not imperfect then. Dr. Davis, speak for a moment.
Well, good morning once again to all of my family and friends. Thank God for being here today, and thank God for the discussion, amen, that we're about to go into, Dr. Youngblood, because many times you have also, and Dr. Phelps as well, stressed the importance of studying Scripture mm-hmm. and getting the proper context,
yes,
the proper meaning,
yes,
so that we can apply it in the proper way. And this has been a big problem in the church down through the years. Many times the churches I've been associated with, visited, et cetera, et cetera, I have had problems at my church. I'm not saying I have a perfect one. Amen. We all have problems.
It's not perfect yet.
Amen. Amen. But, you know, we all have problems. And a lot of times it's due to the fact that we have not studied as the scripture commands us. And then, Dr. Youngblood, we have not appointed qualified leaders.
Mm-hmm.
We fail in those two areas a whole lot in the church today. So what we're about to discuss will hopefully help us to get on point with that and prevent so many from falling by the wayside.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, let me just ask you men a question. This is kind of an impromptu thought. How many people, who should call in and ask a question today, Dr. Davis?
I would say any born again believer. Now, we don't want to argue. We're not going to argue on this broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not out to, per se, prove anyone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because many a times people get caught up in the wrong spirit.
That's right.
When they think you're trying to, if I can say it in this way, make a monkey out of them. We're not trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We're only trying to help you to get a better understanding of the scripture.
Amen.
So that if you're caught up in a snare.
Yes.
This is what the enemy is good at. The devil is good at snaring
mm-hmm.
Christians. He doesn't care about those that's out on the street corners. He's already got them.
That's right.
But those of us who are trying to follow Christ Jesus out of a pure heart, he's trying to trap us up in a snare
yep.
and keep us fighting against one another instead of fighting against him.
Yes.
He is the true enemy. So we're hoping that what we do today will help to help someone else to be able to see the
Amen.
Word of God more clearly.
You're saying the purpose of the design of this Bible study is to encourage, to illuminate, and to challenge our listeners today.
Amen.
Dr. Epps, how would you couch that?
One of the great things that I was thinking about, Dr. Youngblood, was the promises of the Word of God. When there's a problem in my church or your church, or whenever you're having a problem with someone in the church, that it's a time to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew here when he talked about this matter. And as I look in Matthew chapter 18, starting around verse 15, it talks about something that you can do to remedy the situation.
Absolutely. That's the very key to it, and that's what we want to talk about today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just set the table. Let me paint the picture. Let me give us a little foundation to go from. Today in the technologies that we have, and the progress of technology, with what I call the handheld devices, we're more popular today with the handheld devices, and I believe that all of us have become more and more dependent on AI, artificial intelligence. I'm not talking about the former artificial intelligence in the White House. I'm talking about the artificial intelligence that we have today. I believe that we're becoming less and less biblically knowledgeable as Christians. Just recently, for example, I heard a pastor that bragged about the fact. Let me quote. He said, "I no longer carry a Bible. I no longer preach from a printed Bible." He held his cell phone up, his handheld device, and he proudly said that he uses the Bible online. Well, what if there's a word missing? What if AI in that handheld device gives a new understanding of what AI thinks that verse should say and do? What if some of the verses, the words are missing? What if the AI Bible is biased or incorrect? I believe we must be careful with how we study the Bible and the value that we place on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word
Amen.
Of God. I believe there must be a reverence for the Bible. In fact, a good illustration, and I'm not glorifying Islam, but with Islam, the Quran is never to be placed on the floor. It's always to be placed above, on a shelf, or something above the feet or the foot level. It must be covered so that it will be protected. That's the way they reverence that unholy book. How much more ought we as Christians to revere the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God? I believe that's what we need to do. We need to understand how to handle the Word. It is taking the Word of God. And by the way, the Scripture is very clear in Second Timothy chapter 4, very, very clear that there will come a day when people will not adhere to, listen to sound doctrine, sound teaching, but will heap to themselves teachers because they have itching ears. Not the teachers, but the hearer having itching ears. So, ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of this broadcast today, as is each and every day, is to get us on the right track of recognizing truth, using the Word of God as the prism by which we look at all that is taking place. In today's younger generation, I believe, as well as many older believers today, we find very many misunderstood, misinterpreted, misused biblical text. Well, you just pluck out a word, pluck out a verse, pluck out a phrase, and use that to build on. In fact, I've even watched, ladies and gentlemen, on television where some of the anchors will say, well, you know, the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth's going to make you free. That's just part of a statement. If you continue in my word, and they leave that out. It's taking a fragment or a portion of a verse or a word and building an entire doctrinal, theological thought on that. That's the focus that we want to talk about today. By the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Here's a text, ladies and gentlemen, that we're going to dwell on today. In fact, it's a unit of thought. Unit of thought is, if you are seated, if you're driving, don't try to do it. But if you're seated, have your Bible handy, open your Bible to chapter 18, and we're going to pick up at the 15th verse. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 and following. That unit of thought goes from chapter 18, it goes from verse 15 to verse 20. Those few verses, but on that 20 and that 20th verse, the Bible says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, Dr. Davis, there are a lot of people that will take that verse, for where, for, gar, because that for, little Greek word gar, because links it with the previous statements that gives a reason then, a cause for what is being said. For, gar, because where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Ladies and gentlemen, before I pass this around the dialogue table here in our studio today, have you ever been to church? And I don't say this in a denigrative fashion. Have you ever been to church and there's a handful of people, for some reason, either because of sickness, the travel, the smallness of the congregation, there's just a handful of people present. And the pastor or some other person that's leading the prayer meeting or the Bible study will look around and say, well, don't be discouraged. I know we just got a handful of people here, but God's Word tells us that where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst. And so therefore we know that God the Holy Spirit is present with us because of that verse and that verse that is stated in that fashion. Well, just a few in number, two or three. Dr. Davis, is that understanding of that verse, is that biblically correct in context? Here's why, ladies and gentlemen, I asked Dr. Davis that question. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst. What if I'm alone? Is God the Holy Spirit not present? What if two or three is not there? Am I alone without the presence of the Holy Spirit? It means that we must be careful to always have others with us in order to have the Holy Spirit present. Now, I know that's kind of a reverse order, but most have never heard it in that fashion. Dr. Davis, what do you say? Is the Holy Spirit ever present? Is there ever a qualification of the Holy Spirit's present? Or is it possible that's being misunderstood? Talk for just a moment about the presence of the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit always present? Do we have to pray and say, oh, Holy Spirit, come and visit us today? Speak about that for just a moment.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I'm sure we could read many places in the Scripture that would give us a source of encouragement. But if we want to view it in the proper context. I always encourage studying the verses that precede the verse that you're trying to understand.
Yes.
That way you will not get to put the cart ahead of the horse, in other words. So we need to fully understand what the scripture is saying before we start going out and reciting things, because many times we say that before the unsaved people and we give them the wrong thought. Now, how are we helping that situation? How are we helping them to understand God and His Word when we are quoting scripture out of context? So we need to make sure that when we are talking, even amongst one another, we don't want to transmit the wrong thought, because many a times, and I'm not saying this to anyone's shame, we're not on the same learning level. So we need to make sure that we put it in the proper perspective.
Yes.
So that when we get ready to walk it out in life, we're putting one foot ahead of the other, and we can proceed in the way that God would have us to go, so that we can live a life that's pleasing to Him. Now, to answer your question, Jesus said that when He was going back to the Father, in John chapter 14, He said first, at verse number 15, He said, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." Yes. You see, now love is the basis. It's the root cause for everything that we do in Christianity. We have to love God first and keep His commandments.
Yes.
So He said, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you." How long? Forever.
Yes.
So now I can just stop right there.
You could stop there, because that word "abide" means to stay, constantly be with, never leaving.
Amen. So now, that knocks it out the box when it comes down to where two or three are gathered together, because now you're putting forth the wrong thought that if it's only one there, He's not there.
That's right.
So let's make sure we understand now, once again, what the scripture is saying, and know what it is that God would have us to know, so that not only we could come together in agreement and live a life in the way that God would have us to live, but we can also show that, being a shining example to a lost and dying world of what a real Christian or the Christian life should look like.
Absolutely. And one of the things, Dr. Phelps, that this does, I believe it ought to exemplify, amplify the need to study the Word.
Amen.
For example, if you take scripture out of context, you could take the scripture and say, "Judas went out and hung himself. Read several verses over. Go you therefore and do likewise." That's a pretty bad statement, but that's the way you pick and choose verses and take them out of context, make them say things they ought not, that does not be, is not said and should not be understood that way. So, Dr. Phelps, if we are, and we'll get into the actual text in a moment, so we're not getting into that text right now, but if this verse, "where two or three gather in My name, there I am in the midst also," if that is, has a connotation of having to have two or more gathered for the Holy Spirit to be present. Dr. Davis just stated a verse that the Holy Spirit's with us forever. What other thoughts do you have about the presence, ever presence of the Holy Spirit?
Well, remember that just before Jesus ascended back to heaven, having already completed the work of redemption, He was talking with the disciples, and He told them, remember, He says, "I am with you always." Well, He was talking about leaving. How could He say, "I am with you always"? Because Jesus was assuring the disciples that His presence, His holy presence, would be with them as they serve in the gospel ministry. How is that possible if He's in heaven? Well, remember that Jesus is omnipresent, and He can be with us even though we don't see His presence. We have His abiding presence in us as believing Christians, and that's been true since the day Jesus spoke those words. Now, the Holy Spirit, who is another person, our personality of the Trinity, the Triune God, came to dwell in every believer on the day of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. And it is true today that he is ever present with us. Now, with his presence in me, he brings with him also the presence of the Father and the Son.
Yes.
Because they're indivisible.
Yes.
They're one. And so we can say that the Lord is with us and he abides in us. And those both statements are true because a believing Christian is the temple of God. We are a living sanctuary of the living God.
Yes.
Absolutely. And this is one of the things, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. Have we elicited in your mind questions or comments, statements, where you're searching? Perhaps you're even saying now, well, what does that verse mean? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked it, because that's what we're going to be talking about, what that verse means. That verse we're speaking of, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Wonderful, wonderful study. And it comes in that unit of thought, Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Dr. Phelps?
May I add this, that those verses you're just talking about there have very important words in verse 20, for example, for where two or three are gathered together, there I'm in the midst of them. That word together reminds me that a church is an assembly of believers.
Yes.
And the Bible tells us in Hebrews, for us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together.
Yes.
But a lot of people do that, don't they?
Do that, absolutely.
And so if we will assemble, then you're going to see the church in action. The church is going to be active and useful. We need for believing Christians to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day with the Lord's people around the Word of God.
Amen.
Absolutely. Well stated. And by the way, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, and also to our listeners, what we're discussing today should accentuate the fact that there's a need for Bible study and Bible training. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a good place for me to kind of put this little footnote in. Conservative Theological University, in operation since 1982, with the single goal of training men and women in the Word of God, while in ministry or for ministry, either one. And by the way, you can do your studying from the associate's degree through the PhD degree. Online, we have all of our courses online where you can study right where you are, right in your living room, right in your home, right in your office, at your own time, at your own pace, to complete your work. And I would recommend to anybody listening today, whether you're a layperson, Sunday school teacher, deacon, pastor, evangelist, missionary, Christian school teacher, et cetera, a pastor that's doing a wonderful job but need to in some way assimilate that training and kind of get it organized so that you'll understand the Scripture and be better able to impact lives. You can go to conservative.edu, conservative.edu. That's Conservative Theological University. Scroll down. Look at the doctrinal statement, look at the courses that we offer, and let us know, 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE, leave your voicemail for someone to get back with you, talk with you about getting enrolled. You can enroll anytime. There's no semester schedule where you've got to enroll at a certain time. Enroll at any time. Start right where you are, right now, in studying the Word. I commend it to you. I understand that there are multitudes that will put off and procrastinate. I say to study the Word that you'll be better able to impact lives for eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a unit of thought. We plucked out verse 20 because some many use it for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. In just a moment, we're going to exegete this unit of thought. What does that mean? That means we're going to look at verses 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20 to ascertain what this text is saying and what it is not saying. I commend it to you. So hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.org.